Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What you are about to hear borders on assault. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to hear a verbal assault, not against somebody's person, but on the subject of personhood. You are about to hear Scott Klusendorf, who for my money is one of the finest pro-life ambassadors that we have. You remember Scott Klusendorf for Life is Best. He debated Nadine Strossen. Do you know the name? She is a feminist of the first order. She was the former president of NARAL. Got the picture. He recently had a debate with her, and this is brutal. He never laid a hand on the woman, but wow, did he just drub her. It almost doesn't seem fair. Emphasis on almost. Hey, you had time to prepare too, lady. Scott Klusendorf just razzled and dazzled her. Why? Yes, Scott Klusendorf is a brilliant fellow, but we have the argument on our side. We have truth on our side. We have science on our side. We have logic on our side. And we have the Bible on our side because it is a life month. Thought you would enjoy listening to Scott Klusendorf mop the floor with Nadine Strossen before we get to the bloodbath between the two of them. Scott Klusendorf, in his opening remarks, you might be able to use these yourself. These might be things that equip you to be an articulate pro-life spokesperson. By the way, if you'd really like to endeavor to become very articulate, able to handle any of the pro-life objections, get Life is Best. I was just watching an episode the other day. This is a super fine 13-episode TV series with a study guide, no less, that will equip you, your Sunday school class, your kids, homeschool, whatever group you want to assemble, to defend life. And you can get that series during Life Month for a gift of any amount at wretchedradio.com to give you just a little bit of a tease as to how good it is. This is Scott Klusendorf, his opening remarks with Nadine Strossen.
I want to begin by asking you to indulge me in a thought experiment. Those of you that are students, I want you to think 10 years into the future. You are married, you've met the man or woman of your dreams, and you have a 5-year-old. And one day you're at the kitchen sink washing dishes after supper, and that 5-year-old comes up behind you with your back turned and says, "Daddy or mommy, can I kill this?" Now, some of you ladies look puzzled. You can't imagine the cute little fellow asking such a question. This ring on my finger assures you that they most assuredly can ask that question. I've been married for 30 years to the most glorious woman in all of Christendom. We have a son 26, son 24, son 20, daughter 16. I have personally heard the question, "Daddy, can I kill this?" more times than I can count. And almost always his hands are on his brother's throat when he's asking the question. What would be the first question out of your mouth? Obviously, it would be, "What has he got?" You would never in a million years say, "Sure, son, have at it," till you answer the predicate question, "What is it?" And now we have arrived at the crux of the abortion debate. I agree with everything Nadine just said. She is absolutely correct that the state should not impose its view on women who want abortions. She is absolutely correct that pro-lifers like me should not seek to impose our moral views on those who disagree. She is absolutely correct. There should be no legislation regulating the right to choose. She's absolutely correct that Roe v. Wade is good law. I agree with everything she just said. If what? If the unborn are not human?
That is the question. Can I kill it? Well, I don't know. What are we talking about here? Is it a cockroach? Yeah. It's your sister. No. And I know the pro-choice argument, but it's not a fully formed human being. And Scott Klusendorf goes about the business of bringing in science to demonstrate we're human from conception.
And the science of embryology, I'll summarize it for you in a sentence. From the earliest stages of development, you were a distinct, living, and whole human being. Keith L. Moore and TVN Passard in their embryology textbook, The Developing Human, Clinically Oriented Embryology, write, the zygote is the beginning of a new human being. Human development begins at fertilization, the process during which a male gamete or sperm unites with a female gamete or oocyte to form a single cell called a zygote. This highly specialized totipotent cell marks the beginning of each of us as a unique individual. T.W. Sandler's Langman's embryology textbook says, quote, the development of a human being begins with fertilization, a process by which the sperm from the male and the oocyte from the female rise and unite to give rise to a new organism, the zygote.
Trust me, those textbooks he was quoting weren't printed at Zondervan. Go ahead and search your own joke there. Those are secular textbooks. Not only do the secular textbooks admit that life begins at conception, so do some pro-choicers who are at least honest.
Now the question then becomes, does abortion intentionally kill an innocent human being? And I'm not going to ask you to take my word for it. Dr. Warren Hearn, author of the book Abortion Practice, the medical teaching text that teaches doctors how to perform abortions, writes, quote, when it comes to abortion technology, he writes, quote, we have reached a point in this particular technology where there is no possibility of denying an act of destruction. It is before one's eyes. The sensations of dismemberment flow through the forceps like an electric current. Ronald Dworkin, the famous liberal professor, writes in his book, Life's Dominion, quote, abortion deliberately kills a developing embryo and is a choice for death. Naomi Wolf, feminist in The New Republic, writes that when we cling to rhetoric about abortion that denies that a real death happens in abortion, we dehumanize ourselves with fibs and things that aren't honest.
That's ironic.
And finally, feminist Camille Paglia writes, hence, I have always frankly admitted that abortion is murder, the extermination of the powerless by the powerful. Liberals, for the most part, have shrunk from facing the ethical consequences of their embrace of abortion, which results in the annihilation of concrete individuals and not clumps of insensate tissue.
But no, a pro-life presentation would be complete without a sermon illustration, or at least in this case, an analogy.
Science tells us that the unborn are distinct, living, and whole human beings. They're not part of another human being like skin cells on the back of your hand. They are themselves distinct, whole living members of the human family. And I get that that can be difficult to understand. You think, how can something as simple as what appears to just be a ball of cells be one of us? Let me give you an example, though, that may help you. For those of you under 50, let me enlighten you about the dark ages of photography prior to the cell phone era. The way it worked for your parents when they shot pictures, they had camera, and in the camera there was this stuff called film. And you shot the film, you shot about 36 exposures, and then only after you'd shot 38 or 36 pictures, you would take the film out of the camera, drive it to the far side of the supermarket parking lot where there was a little shack known as Photomat. You would then turn in your film, wait a month and a half for half your pictures to come back overexposed. It was tough back then. But then in 1970, we had an interesting development. Kodak developed the Polaroid camera. And the Polaroid camera allowed you to shoot a picture and get it immediately. You'd shoot the picture, it would spit it out. There it was. You didn't have to wait a month and a half to get your pictures back. Pretend you're on a safari and you shoot a picture of a black jaguar jumping across a Mexican jungle trail. They're almost never photographed, but you got it. And right as you're waiting for that picture to develop, I rip the camera out of your hands, tear up the paper. Are you angry at me? You're furious. What if I said to you, what's the big deal? There's no jaguar in that picture. That's just a white paper with a brown smudge on it. You would be livid at me. And it wouldn't work for me to simply say, no big deal. You'd look at me with your eyes raging and you would say, are you kidding me? The jaguar in the picture was already there. We just couldn't see him yet because he hadn't developed. In the same way, men and women, you were already there from the one cell stage. We just couldn't see you yet because you had yet to develop.
Scott Klusendorf, in a debate with Nadine Strossen, his opening remarks, which were articulate, magnificent, and well worth stealing. I mean, using to develop our own sort of present. Plagiarize away. Give him credit if you choose. He'd be happy if you stole it. Those are fine ways to present the pro-life case. But wait. The toe-to-toe has not begun between the two opponents, but it will next on Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us at Wretched Radio. We appreciate that you spend part of your day with us. Busy week. January, of course, is National Sanctity of Human Life Month. Last Sunday was National Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. This Sunday is the 44th anniversary, sadly, of the Supreme Court ruling that allows us to murder babies in the womb. And next Friday, the 27th, is the National March for Life in Washington, D.C. Yep, there's a distinct pattern there, and we'd like to be part of that pattern with Life is Best, yours free for a gift of any amount to Wretched today. It is our 13-episode pro-life apologetics course. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf. There are a whole herd of people in there that you'll know and a few that you don't but should. Life is Best for the gift of any amount to Wretched. Go to wretchedradio.com for all of the details. And thank you for your generous support. Your help keeps us on the radio. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. Judge Not is a book that dares to violate evangelicalism's first commandment, thou shalt not judge. Todd Friel will satirically and painfully expose some of the decay in the underbelly of the contemporary evangelical church and point to a solution to help rescue the church, save souls, and glorify God. So if you'd like ideas to put an end to the silliness that has permeated the evangelical church, get your copy of Judge Not. Available now at wretchedradio.com. The world's fastest growing sect of Christianity is not Christian at all. Chances are likely your child, your church, are getting infected. That's why we produced Drunk in the Spirit. The New Apostolic Reformation boasts 369 million adherents. Drunk in the Spirit from Wretched Radio will let you know who these people are, what they teach, and why they're such a threat to your family and local church. Drunk in the Spirit. Available now at wretchedradio.com.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
Look at what Paul says in chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. How? Not with wisdom and eloquence. Why? Lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. You get Paul's point? Friends, I don't know how in the world we've missed this. You empty the gospel of its foolishness, and you empty the gospel of its power. Don't attempt to make the gospel glorious. It is glorious without any help from us, that God in Christ has come to us, that God in Christ has died for us, that God in Christ has been raised for us, that God in Christ now lives for us, that God in Christ now saves the likes of us. I tell my students every semester, you are not a chef. You are a butler, which means you don't have to make the meal. You just got to get it to the table without messing it up.
You can get Drive-By Discernment and all of our Drive-By resources at wretchedradio.com.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Size? You were smaller as an embryo, but since when does body size determine value? We don't think Shaquille O'Neal is more human and valuable than us because he's 7 foot tall and a foot taller than most people in this auditorium. Level of development is not a good reason for saying you can be killed. Sure, 2-year-old girls are small. In fact, they don't even have a developed reproductive system. But no one here thinks they're less human and valuable than the 21-year-old young woman who does. In fact, this is precisely what Abraham Lincoln argued with slavery. His opponents would say that black man differs from us. He doesn't look like us. He's not as intelligent. Here was Lincoln's response, and I'll quote him almost word for word. Lincoln would say, "You say man A is white, man B is dark. It is skin color then, the fair-skinned man having the right to enslave the dark-skinned man. Take care. By that rule, you're a slave to the first person you meet with skin fairer than your own. You say it isn't intellect, or it isn't skin color, it's intellect. The white man you allege having superior intellect to the dark man, take care again. By that rule, you're a slave to the first person you meet with an intellect superior to yours." I think you see what Lincoln was doing here. By the force of principled reasoning, the same arguments used to discredit the black man discredited the white man. By the same token, the arguments used to disqualify the unborn disqualify a whole lot of people outside the womb. Size, level of development. What about environment where you're located? You were in the womb, now you're out. But where you are does not determine what you are. If you journeyed an hour to get here, maybe you drove 70 miles, you didn't stop being you. If that's true, how does a journey of 7 inches down the birth canal suddenly transform you to non-human, non-valuable thing we can kill, to valuable human being that we can't? Finally, degree of dependency. Sure, you depended on your mother for survival. But since when, as a matter of principle, does dependency on another human being mean that we can kill you? There are people in comas who depend exclusively on a physician and will die if they are not in his care. Does it follow the physician can kill them? Does that person depend totally on them for survival?
It's the reliable sled argument. This is Wretched Radio, listening to Scott Klusendorf, who happens to host our 13-episode pro-life series called Life is Best, which you can get right now during the month of January, which is Life Month, if you visit WretchedRadio.com and just give us some money. Pretty much it right there. For a gift of any amount, you will get this beauty with a study guide. When you are done with the 13 episodes, you're going to be encouraged and equipped to defend life biblically, logically, and scientifically. Scott Klusendorf, so helpful, framing the argument. You can slot in every argument that the pro-choicer offers on your sled. So get on your sled. You just heard it. Size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency. Ride that bad boy till the end of the argument. We talk about that, too, in Life is Best. Did I mention you can get it right now at WretchedRadio.com for a gift of any amount. Now, this is when the debate gets really zesty, because Scott Klusendorf, he is debating one of the finest pro-choice spokespeople there is, Nadine Strossen, former president of NARAL. And I got to tell you, this is what I think happened. I'm not sure, but this is what I think happened. Scott Klusendorf has debated her before. So this is a new one. This is like weeks old. And having debated her before, he knew what her arguments were, and he probably guessed she's too busy or too lazy to try to create anything new. She's going to just trot out the same arguments. That happens when people debate regularly, the same arguments. But if you're a smart debater, you listen to their arguments, and then you do a little research. That's what Scott did. And this just got downright painful to watch. This is Nadine Strossen.
I'll cite one bioethics in the new embryology book by three authors. who conclude, science does not offer a hard and fast answer to the question of when human life begins, and there is no consensus among scientists' opinions.
Nadine also argued there's no consensus on when life begins. Men and women, this is utterly fallacious. How does it follow that because people disagree, there's no right answer? By the way, if disagreement means no truth, Nadine's position is falsified because I disagree with it, and so do a whole lot of other people. The reality is people once disagreed on whether slaves ought to have rights. It didn't mean there wasn't a right answer. They once disagreed on whether women should have the right to vote. It didn't mean there wasn't a right answer. Hadley Arkus puts it well. The absence of consensus does not mean an absence of truth.
That's a fellow who studied debate. Oh, because that was her argument. Even though she said, I've kind of got these people who claim that, not citing exactly who they are, but there are people who say that life doesn't begin at conception. So, aha, there's disagreement. Therefore, Scott's wrong. He pointed out the fallacy. Just because there's disagreement doesn't mean that somebody isn't right on the issue. After all, isn't that what debates are all about? So Scott Klusendorf, recognizing bad debate strategy, also, when Nadine would throw out her argument, would counter it with fact.
Scientists estimate that 55 to 65% of all conceptions are spontaneously aborted in the first few days or weeks of a pregnancy, usually without the woman ever knowing that she was pregnant. It's called fetal wastage. Another 10 to 15% of pregnancies are miscarried in the months to come. Fetal wastage occurs because early embryonic forms have a high defect rate. Most early miscarriages are caused by genetic defects in the fertilized egg. This shows that eggs and embryos do not yet qualify as human beings, according to nature herself. At best, they represent tryouts for the human race and personhood.
That is staggeringly bad. I mean, just from an academic level. And furthermore, did you also hear her interpret the information? There are pregnancies that don't go full term. Therefore, abortion is okay because nature says so.
No. Therefore, they're not human.
That's
a whole other leap beyond that.
This is as bad an argument as is available. Scott Klusendorf, up to the plate.
He also said that miscarriage defeats my view. Really? How does it follow that because nature spontaneously triggers a miscarriage, that A, the embryos in question are not fully human, or B, we may intentionally kill them? Many countries, like India, have horrendous high infant mortality rates. Children die before a month old after being born. Does it follow those who die sooner are less human and valuable than those who die later? Earthquakes happen in third world countries and kill hundreds of thousands. Does that justify mass murder?
Boom! Well done, Scott Klusendorf. Nadine Strossen, former president of NARAL, radical feminist. She kept trying and Scott just kept on swatting.
Blackman was a devout Methodist. He took his beliefs very seriously. He was also a devout student of science and medicine. He had been legal counsel for the Mayo Clinic in his native Minnesota before he was appointed to the Supreme Court. And he spent the entire summer after Roe versus Wade was argued in the libraries at the Mayo Clinic researching deeply into medicine, into embryology, into all the information that science as well as philosophy could provide.
Appeal to authority? Anyone?
Before he reached the conclusion, which has been consistently reaffirmed not only by the Supreme Court on restudy, but also by briefs that are filed in every Supreme Court case on abortion, including the most recent one that the court decided this last spring, briefed by scientists, by doctors, by medical ethicists, by Nobel Prize winners, by embryologists, all saying the disciplines of medicine, philosophy, and theology are unable to arrive at any consensus as to when life begins.
If we don't know if the unborn are human, should we be killing them? If you're driving home from tonight's debate and you see what looks like an old coat in the road, but it could be an old man who had a little bit too much to drink, are you going to run the coat over? No, you're going to err on the side of caution. Or to borrow an example from former President Ronald Wilson Reagan, if you're out hunting and you see bushes rustling in front of you and you don't know if it's that deer you've been after or your best buddy, are you going to open fire? Not unless you're Dick Cheney, right? You're going to err on the side of caution. There's no way you're going to open fire. If we don't know if the unborn are human, we shouldn't be killing them.
Scott Klusendorf, beautifully defending life, swatting down the presentation by feminist pro-choicer Nadine Strossen. You want to get as good as Scott? Get a copy of Life is Best for a gift of any amount at wretchedradio.com. Practice a little bit. Somebody at home is going to have to play the radical feminist. Do your best, and you too will be equipped to defend a life. This is Wretched Radio.
If pornography is a part of your life, it's time to be finally free. Keith Lambert and Todd Friel will take you through 8 biblical strategies that actually work. So if you're tired of going it alone, or if you've tried other ideas that just didn't pan out, Finally Free will help you be finally free. And isn't it time? Get your CD and be finally free at wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but children are little sinners. The great news is that the Bible has tons of information about dealing with sinful people, even those who are small and share your last name. Drive-By Parenting with Dr. Ted Tripp will transform the way you parent and change the tone of your entire home. Drive-By Parenting at wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You thought we never follow our own advice. This is Wretched Radio. But moments ago, I encouraged you to practice being an excellent pro-life spokesperson. You can do that at home. You get yourself a copy of Life is Best at wretchedradio.com for a gift of any amount. Then somebody in your family has to play Nadine Strossen, the radical feminist. And then you can play the role of Scott Klusendorf, and that's precisely what Joey and I did during the break. And so now, without any further ado, Joey, give your impression of pro-choicer Nadine Strossen.
Okay, allow me to get my fingers in my ears. La 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 la, I can't hear you. La 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 la.
Excellently done, Joe Selness. Phenomenal impersonation of Nadine Strossen, whom Scott Klusendorf recently debated. And honestly, there were several times I wanted to bring her a bag of ice for all the bruises.
Nadine provided us with an insecure foundation for human rights. She cited the mystery passage. At the heart of liberty, she quoted from the Supreme Court's Casey decision, is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. In other words, human nature is not objective, it's subjective. So why can't a future Supreme Court just come along and make women up not to be creatures of rights if that happens to fit its definition of the mystery of human life? And voila, women no longer have any rights.
Voila?
I think my foundation for human rights is much better. We all have value. We all have dignity, not because of function, not because nine justices somewhere either define us into existence or out of existence. Keep that in mind. The same justices who define you into existence can define you out. Rather, I rest my case on the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal. We are endowed with certain rights, and no government can take them away. And we have those rights from the moment we begin to exist.
Scott Klusendorf making his way through Nadine's objections, which are paltry, but nevertheless need to be dealt with. And he did.
Scott, my first question for you is...
I'm sorry, I just have to play that again, as they are now going to go toe-to-toe, face-to-face.
Scott, my...
I'm sorry. I just want to hear that again, because it's been a while since I've watched a condescending video where I felt just dripped on with disdain.
Scott, my first question for you is, would you absolutely oppose abortion in every circumstance, including when it's necessary to save a woman's life, when it's necessary for her health, when she is the victim of rape or incest, being the most common examples?
Sure.
Pro-lifers make exceptions.
Yeah.
You know what? Scott, I can hear him chomping at the bit. It's like, oh, I've only dealt with this about 1,000 times.
Fair question. Let me take the first one, her life. There are medical cases known as ectopic pregnancy where the embryo implants on the inner wall of the fallopian tube. If you do not remove that embryo, as that embryo grows in that narrow tube, the danger to the mother is clear. That embryo grows, the tube bursts, the mother hemorrhages to death. You're a pro-life doctor. What are you going to do? Do you do nothing and let two humans die? Or do you act in such a way that you save one life, even though the unintended but foreseen result is the death of the human embryo? And my answer, Nadine, is we act to save the mother. Now, here's where I need to get back to definitions. You'll notice in my syllogism, I defined abortion very carefully. The intentional killing of an innocent human being. When a doctor acts to save a mother's life, he is not intentionally killing an innocent human being. He can foresee the death of the embryo in the case of ectopic pregnancy, but he does not intend it. So I don't even call that abortion. That's a life-saving surgery that any physician who's pro-life would do, and no legislation has ever forbid that kind of surgery.
Because it's not an abortion. Let's move on now to our next clip.
Scott,
I'm sorry, that was the wrong button. That was totally my bad. Let me just try this again.
Todd.
Scott, my first question.
It's a caricature of something.
Let's assume hypothetically that there's, let's say she will not lose her life, but she will be rendered infertile. Let's use that as an example of an adverse health consequence.
Right.
Okay, here's the question. How would you respond to this? If the woman goes through with the pregnancy, she won't be able to ever have another pregnancy.
Would that be a situation where you would say the pregnancy could be terminated?
In that case, the mother stands to lose one good. The child stands to lose an ultimate good. The mother loses fertility. The child loses its life. Being killed is immeasurably worse than losing your fertility.
Boom. Clear, cogent, and correct. Scott Klusendorf, he's debating Nadine Strossen. And for my money, oh, I know that I'm biased. This is just a complete mismatch dealing now with the issue that gets trotted out regularly. Abortion must be okay in the case of rape and incest, right?
And rape and incest?
Yeah, thank you. Here's the question. You and I both agree that a woman who's been sexually assaulted has suffered a terrible injustice. We both agree on that. My guess is we disagree on the solution. So here's the question that comes to mind. How should a civil society treat innocent human beings who remind us of a painful event? Is it okay to kill them so we can feel better? We're back to the question, what is the unborn? Does hardship justify homicide? If I have a 2-year-old in front of me and his father was a rapist, would it be okay to execute the 2-year-old for the sin of his father? I think we'd all say no. Which means if the unborn are human like that toddler, we shouldn't kill them in the name of hardship any more than we would kill the toddler for that reason. Now, having said that, I want to make it clear that my answer may not feel good to me because I can easily sympathize with that woman that I can see right in front of me. It's easy. I can see her. I can sympathize with her. It's harder for me to sympathize with her child, but I can't trample on the rights of that child without also putting in jeopardy the very foundation that gives any of us value and a right to life, namely that we shouldn't be killed just because someone would feel better if we were dead.
Rape and incest, it seems to be a persuasive argument, but it's not when you remember the foundational question. What is it? How it got to be there is irrelevant. The question is it a human or isn't it? Now, this might be the best example so far. This is my guess. Someday we'll have to ask Scott. He debated her once before, and she threw out her stuff, and I think Scott went and did a little bit of homework, because Nadine Strossen made the claim that every medical organization says partial birth abortion is necessary. That was her claim.
Every single medical organization, including the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the Public Health Association, every single one of them filed briefs in support of the medical life-saving necessity of this procedure in certain tragic pregnancies. They occur extremely rarely. These are all wanted pregnancies, and some tragic complication develops late in the process, as a result of which women make a very...
Yeah, I've actually got the Journal of the American Medical Association brief here on partial birth abortion, and the doctors make it very clear that this procedure is not needed to save the mother's life. And why would it be? It's a 3-day procedure. The woman goes in, has laminaria inserted. You got to wait a day. Then they've got to dilate the cervix slowly, then deliver the child breech first, and with only the head left in the birth canal, stab it in the back of the skull and vacuum its brains out. If this were an emergency life-saving procedure, they'd do a quick D&E. They wouldn't use a procedure that takes 3 days, Nadine.
Oh, don't you hate it when somebody comes with the facts? She's sitting there without a scrap of paper in front of her, acting like all glib and I've got this so under control. Scott undoubtedly heard her say that before, and this time he brought a file with him with a bunch of papers to say, let me just read it for you. And he did that repeatedly. Scott Klusendorf, a model of being a persuasive pro-life ambassador. If you'd like to be the same, get Life is Best. Seriously, I'll tell you, I've watched it multiple times. It just reminds me, what is the main argument? The sled trotting out the toddler. But things like what happened to babies who are aborted when they die? Where do they go? It is profoundly helpful, biblically, logically, scientifically, and you can get yourself a copy for a gift of any amount at WretchedRadio.com. When we return, the audience decides to take aim. Let's see how Scott fires back next on Wretched.
Pornography. The numbers are staggering, sad, scary. According to a Pure Life Ministries poll, 68% of evangelical men view pornography. And the same poll showed 50% of evangelical pastors admit to viewing porn. That's why Todd wrote Slaying the Lust Dragon. Get your copy today and learn how to put the pornography dragon to death once and for all. Slaying the Lust Dragon. Available at WretchedRadio.com. Evangelism can be scary. We get that. That's why we created The Biggest Question. The Biggest Question DVD presents the gospel in a clear, concise, and accurate way without being cheesy. And all you need to do is hand it to someone and ask them to watch. So who do you know who needs to hear the good news? A friend? A neighbor? A loved one?
The Biggest Question, available in single copies or spindles of 100 at wretchedradio.com. And remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
A lot of people, I think, have the idea that the Holy Spirit is only working if he's doing some kind of miraculous or phenomenal thing. But I believe what Scripture teaches us about the Holy Spirit is that he is at work in all the ordinary aspects of life. He orders every minute detail of our lives. It is he who actually gives life to us. And he is the one who spiritually unites us with Christ. He is at work in every detail of life. And if you're thinking of the Holy Spirit is that he's only working when he's doing miracles or when he's doing something stunning or astonishing, then you don't have a right and biblical view of the Holy Spirit. What Scripture teaches about the Holy Spirit is that he indwells us, so he is with us permanently. He doesn't come just to do miracles. And most of what he does in us and through us seems on the face of it ordinary. It is extraordinary because it's the Holy Spirit.
You can get Drive-By Pneumatology and all of our Drive-By resources at wretchedradio.com.
So many people, so many different ways to interpret the Bible. Why is that? Probably because I never watched Herman Hu. You see, Herman Hu will teach you how to interpret every passage in the Bible rightly by using the classical method of biblical interpretation. You'll learn simple methods for rightly dividing the truth every time. Get your copy of Herman Hu at wretchedradio.com. And remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel. You can learn biblical Greek. With Wretched Radio's It's Not Greek to Me, you will understand the language of the New Testament. It's Not Greek to Me is so simple, Todd Friel could teach it. Actually, Todd did. And you will learn to use Greek dictionaries and concordances, and you will understand all those Greek references from the sermon on Sunday. Get your copy of It's Not Greek to Me at wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor, but he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not so much a shot fired, more like help. This is Wretched Radio. Scott Klusendorf debating Nadine Strossen recently on a university campus, and they formatted it so that people, they could do their opening remarks and then respond to the opening remarks and respond to their response, and then the moderator would ask a question. Then they went toe-to-toe asking each other questions. Then the audience got a shot at it, and I don't think this guy was firing at Scott. I think, you be the judge, he was actually trying to help.
The 58 million that we've lost since Roe versus Wade, approximately 1.2 million a year, 3,000 a day. What would you say would be the percentage that you might that we have lost to rape and incest?
According to Planned Parenthood's own research arm, the Guttmacher Institute, which I have up here with me, less than 1% of abortions a year are done for rape and incest. The overwhelming majority, well over three quarters, according to the Guttmacher report, are done because of socioeconomic reasons, meaning the woman does not wish to be pregnant. Now, to be clear, that doesn't get me off the hook for explaining my moral reasons, which I did to Nadine, as to why we should not intentionally kill innocent human beings, regardless of how they came to be. We shouldn't have the right to intentionally kill innocent human beings simply because they remind us of something painful. However, you are correct. The exact number of abortions done for rape and incest is very, very low. That doesn't minimize the trauma of the individual women who experience it, and I would never do that. But it does tell us that the vast majority of abortions are done for socioeconomic reasons, not for rape and incest, not for life of the mother.
Excellent. It's good to know facts and statistics. Now, 1% is 1%. It still really skirts the issue. The question is not, is rape and incest horrific? That's agreed, isn't it? It's the issue of what is inside of the mother's womb. And when we keep remembering that, we can trot out our toddler to demonstrate we can't kill it. If a woman approached you and said, hi, I've got this two-year-old right here, coming up to a little past my knees, a little wobbly still, kind of a late walker, but here's my little daughter, and this child is the product of rape or incest. Therefore, would you hold my purse while I kill it? I suspect you wouldn't. You'd go, no, you can't kill a toddler. Why? Because it's an innocent whole human being, and you don't have the right to do that. And the woman responds, but you have no idea how painful the memory is, and nobody wants to argue against that or say it glibly. Of course it is hard. Might not be anything more difficult. A single woman having experienced that with a child? I think it was Matt Chandler, when he was talking about the issue, said, you've got to climb Everest. I think that's a quote from Life is Best. You've got to climb Mount Everest to accomplish this and raise up the child. But that doesn't mean that because it's hard, painful, difficult, that we can kill a two-year-old, which brings us back to the question. That's obvious with a two-year-old, but what about with what is inside of the mother's womb? Which brings us back to the fundamental question. What is it?
What is the essential difference made in 1854 by Chief Justice Roger Taney, himself a slave owner, when he argued for the non-personhood of people of African descent? That was his argument, at least that's my understanding of it. What is it between that and the non-personhood argument put forth by the abortionists today?
Because one has been born and the other is far from birth.
That's it. And she's got the smuggest look on her face. That's the best she had, because frankly, that is the best they have. Oh, the smug look.
Oh. That response is question begging, because the very issue is, why does birth matter? In other words, how does a change of location from inside the womb to outside the womb change the essential nature of the unborn? Nadine needs to argue for how that happens, and she hasn't done it. She just asserts it.
Now, in case you thought that Joey's impression of Nadine Strossen was inappropriate, I'm just telling you because I can see the video. She's just sitting there shaking her head like, oh, you're so stupid. Oh, this is so, I don't need to process this.
I could just as easily assert that having a belly button that points out rather than in is what gives us value. And I would be no less arbitrary and ad hoc than she is tonight. You've got to argue why birth matters. But here's another problem for Nadine. At the University of San Francisco Medical Center, Dr. Michael Harrison is doing surgery on fetuses where he repairs herniated diaphragms. And here's how he does it. He removes the child at somewhere between 20 to 24 weeks from the womb, almost all the way out, surgically repairs the herniated diaphragm and places the child back in the womb. If birth is what gives us value, what happens to that child? Does it go from being a non-human to a human briefly, and then back to being a non-human again? This is the absurdity of the position we're hearing tonight. Men and women, please get this. If our rights are grounded on things that we don't share equally and that may come and go in the course of our lifetimes, you have no human equality.
That's a fact. You remember earlier Scott made a comment about Supreme Court justices. If they can determine by legislation when you can be born, if you can be born, they can also do that at the other end of the spectrum. They can determine when you die. You say, that's preposterous. I say, let's go to Canada. At least 744 assisted deaths have happened in Canada since we have a new medical procedure extinguishing somebody's life is not a medical procedure. I actually looked up the word medicine. It's to treat, to remedy. The science of improving health ending somebody's life is hardly a medical procedure, but it became law in 2016 in Canada. 4 Canadians per day had medically assisted deaths between, you're thinking that was all year? 744 between June 17th and December 16th. Busy, busy, busy. Doing what? Ending life. Why? Because the government said it's a medical procedure. They're determining the beginning of life, and we're seeing them determine the end of life issue. That is a very scary world in which to live.
Nadine's primary response to my case was the issue of viability, that the fetus is not valuable, has no rights until it's viable. She didn't say why that's decisive. She asserted it. But let's do a little thought experiment. Viability does not measure the value of the fetus. It measures our technology. A fetus is viable at 22 weeks at a state-of-the-art New York City hospital, but not viable until 38 weeks in Bangladesh. So let's do a little thought experiment.
Smart.
A woman who is pregnant at 24 weeks gets on a plane at JFK. She flies to Bangladesh, where viability is 38 weeks. And then she flies home. So what happens to her child? Does it go from being a person in New York, where it could be born, viable, to a non-person when it leaves U.S. airspace, back to being a person again when it flies home? This is crazy and leads to terrible inequality.
And it already has. Scott Klusendorf wrapping up his debate with Nadine Strossen. There was much to be taken from that. Might I suggest 2 things that will help you to be as articulate? Number one, don't be in a panic. One of the things that Scott does well is he genuinely listens. And then he genuinely, thoughtfully, sensitively responds. You don't have to be like a political talk show on radio. It doesn't, just listen to the argument. And if you're a little befuddled, help me to understand that a little bit more. Buy yourself some time, think it through, and then respond with your arguments. And I think there's another case of abortion that we need to consider. They typically throw out rape, incest, life of the mother. And we always advise, be gentle about this, because you don't want to seem like you don't care about women who have been raped or abused and through incest. But let's remember, it's hard for some women in some circumstances to have a child. It is a strain on finances. It does indeed, in some cases, impede goals and dreams and hopes. And we can't be callous to that. We can't be heartless, so we respond lovingly and thoughtfully. And my second suggestion, and you maybe could see this coming if you want to be as articulate as Scott, yep, get yourself a copy of Life is Best. Scott is the host, and it is a 10 on a scale of 1 to 5. Get Life is Best for a gift of any amount at wretchedradio.com. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.